This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And what an hour we have for you. You want to learn a little bit more about Mao's relationship with Stalin, other things about communism, the race, Marxism in schools. James Lindsay's going to join us about a half hour from now, and it's going to be fascinating. We'll do some emails. Some Chinese student in Michigan is voting a lot of times, and he doesn't belong here. All that and more coming up this hour on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's get to this one. AOC, you know, she and Doug Emhoff, They decided to play nice with each other. Doug Emhoff is around trying to butch up, if you will. Doug has had a rough run of it in the press lately because it came out that he knocked up his nanny and then knocked around his girlfriend when he caught her flirting with another guy. So Doug Emhoff is not exactly anyone's idea of a man. You find yourself beating women, you're a piece of trash. But that's who he is. So why would AOC, this is from Breitbart, why would she gush over him as the ideal man brimming with masculinity? Because in a lot of ways, for her and for the communist, he is. He is the ideal man. And so they take an end goal and they walk back from there and try to convince you it's what you should be. What do they want? What's something an American communist would want? Well, they need effeminate men. That's what they need. They need a bunch of, well, I mean, I don't even know how to tie my shoes. I guess I better bow down to my wife. Women really should run everything. We men are too stupid. Ha, ha, ha. That's really what they want. Why do they want that? Well, so the communists can run everything. So they have to find a way to sell that to you. And that's why they roll out dimes like AOC to appeal to young men. It's not an accident AOC is the one they've had playing football with Tim Walz. It's not an accident AOC is the one gushing over Doug Emhoff. They found the one hot chick they had in Congress and they threw some lipstick on her. And they rolled her out there as an appeal to young men, hoping young men will look, oh, there's AOC. Oh, I wouldn't mind taking AOC out on a date. Oh, AOC says Doug Emhoff is the ideal man. Maybe I should feminize myself a little bit more. And in a roundabout way, that's how you sell feminism to dudes. And don't think that this particular instance of this might not be effective, but overall, beautiful women selling things to men is the most effective thing in the world. Absolutely in the world. Remember I used to sell RVs. I told you this. I used to sell RVs. And every now and then we would have to go to some huge convention center. We had them here in Houston. We had them up in Dallas. There'd be a big RV show. And at an RV show, a bunch of different RV dealers would bring in, you know, a few RVs. You'd have a special section of the convention center. And then you'd knock down your prices. And it's a big sale, right? And they're fun for people. People show up, walk through RVs. Maybe you're looking for one. You get looking for a deal. Anyway, you get the idea. Even if you haven't been there, you get the idea. It's a huge convention floor. RVs all over the place. Different RV dealerships. I remember the first one we went to, I think it was actually in Fort Worth, Texas, if I remember right. Don't quote me on that. I think it was in Fort Worth, Texas. We were, you know, you're always competing. We're dudes. We compete. That's good. Competition is a good thing. We're competing with all the other dealers. We want to sell more, get more customers. And so you're always sending guys out. Do we have more customers than them? How many sales do they have? How many? You're always wanting to compete. And we were pretty good. We were very aggressive. We were pretty good. We like to knock down the prices and get sales done. We were doing it well. And this one dealership, though, they weren't even selling RVs that we thought were equivalent to ours. And I'm not just saying that because I'm being a homer. I would tell you if I thought they were as nice or not, but They were kind of knockoffs and weren't that great. But they had a sales board up. You can see because you have a behind the curtain area where you go in and do your paperwork and stuff. They had a sales board up behind there. And after day two or three, I don't remember. I think it was day two, but I don't want to, don't quote me on that. After day two or three, somebody got a look at their sales board and he snapped a picture of it with his phone. They had sold double as many RVs as us, double. And we were second. We were in third place was a mile away. We thought we had it in the bag. And he came running back and told us all, I was a sales manager at the time, hey, Jesse, look at this. These guys are killing us. And of course, immediately I'm angry. And then I'm trying to figure out, what? How? How did they do that? So I sent a runner over there. Hey, go see what they're doing. Do they have some superstar salesman or something like that? No. They had hot chicks. They went to a local, it was a Hooters. They went to a local Hooters. And no, they weren't. They didn't wear the Hooters uniforms. But they grabbed three or four young ladies, good-looking young ladies, and had them wear shorts. And a little tank top, nothing inappropriate for kids because that would end up turning customers off. But certainly they weren't dressed up like they were in Saudi Arabia. And they were walking around with signs. Hey, do you want a free koozie? Hey, come look at these. You could hardly walk in their RV area because there were so many people in there. Beautiful women sell things to men. Always have, always will. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you've ever been to a gun show, Safari Club, you ever heard of the Safari Club? Safari Club is this huge, 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 they have them all over the place, hunting and fishing and hunting gear and that those kinds of things. It's a big expo. You walk into any big Safari Club exhibit, you will run across a group of gorgeous young women trying to sell you, oh, hey, look at our hunts in Africa. Maybe, just maybe, I'll be there. Of course, she's not going to be there, right? Ooh, hey, come buy some binoculars from me. I'm Tiffany. I've ruined 10 guys' lives. Do you want to be 11? That's how they sell. And then you get AOC out there trying to sell Doug Emhoff as the man brimming with masculinity. There's a reason for it. Gentlemen, don't fall for it. All right. Don't do it, fellas. Don't do it. Jesse Kelly, PTA or PhD. I had an interview this week for a career change in HVAC. This economy forced me into it, but I'm trying to make the best of it. I tried to remember one thing. Shut up. It worked. We spent the first 30 minutes talking shop in particulars until we got onto the topics of bourbon, cigars, golf, church, and family. We spoke for an hour and a half, and it went well. Listen, I've told you this before. I know it's not a politics thing. We'll get back to politics in a moment. Talk about some greeny give-outs and talk about this Chinese kid voting a bunch in Michigan and things like that. But just a little life tip in case you're interviewing for a job, about to interview for a job. When you interview for a job, you get nervous. You're nervous, obviously. You want the job. That's why you're sitting in there. Maybe you even need the job. I got to have this job. And when you sit down for a job interview, because you're nervous, because you want the job, what do? You talk. You sit down. Maybe you've memorized your resume or rehearsed some answers, or maybe you've really researched the company you're applying for and you're so anxious to get all this knowledge out, and you're so anxious to do all that you sit down and you run your friggin' mouth. You don't have any idea what the guy interviewing you or lady interviewing you wants to talk about. I've been in interviews before, hour-long interviews, and I was never asked a single thing about the particulars of the job I was applying for. They wanted to talk about football or kids or, hey, did you catch the game last night or the weather or whatever. The art of a job interview is shutting up and listening. Shut up and listen. Listen to what they are saying, what they're asking about, what they want to talk about. The interview is not about you. It's about them. And that manager may have had their dog throwing up that morning. They've got trouble at the house, and maybe they want to talk to you about all their dog problems. And I know that doesn't make sense, and it shouldn't be that way, but that's life. You got an interview of any kind, not just job, of any kind. Shut up and listen. Listen. Let your ears guide you, and you will find success. All right, let's talk about the newest green giveaway, all this climate change scam stuff. What a huge scam. All you commies who listen, you're going to hate this next segment. Absolutely despise it, because you're going to find out how stupid you are. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave them by voicemail, 877-377-4373. And until I lose my temper and cut them off, we will be taking phone calls with Ask Dr. Jesse questions tomorrow night. It's not going to be two, Chris. I'm going to last longer than two. You know what, Chris? You blame me for when I get angry and I cut off calls and stuff like that. Why do you never blame them? I'm the one enforcing some very basic rules here. Some very basic rules. You want a successful phone call? You got to sound like this guy.
Yeah, you better pack and get the F out of town. That's what you should do, bud. You're out of time. Eliyahu's already here.
I'm kidding. Don't sound like that guy. Just make sure you get right to the point. Anyway, speaking of voicemails.
Hey, Jesse, my name is Kelly. Regarding birthright citizenship, I have said for years that needs to go away. As far as mass deportation, yes, I'm a woman. Yes, I have feelings. And yes, I am absolutely for mass deportation. It will not bother me because my heart is hardened to what has happened to our country because of this invasion. So my advice to other women is when people are crying and little kids are crying and it shows up on social, don't even look them in the face because we need our country back. I love where I live. And I want my country back.
I like that woman. I don't know who she is, but I like her. That's awesome. All right. Now, this is from the Free Beacon. Biden-Harris program meant to greenify low-income homes is mismanaged and vulnerable to fraud, the inspector general warns. I want to once again explain this to everybody, mainly the commies, because I know you already know, but all the commies who hate listening to the show, Jesse, I hate you, I hope you die, all that stuff. So listen, this is for you, especially you greenies. I want you to hear me here. I am not going to argue climate change with you. That's not what I'm about to do, so don't worry, I'm not going to do that. We totally disagree on that. I think you're an insane lunatic who's taken something found everywhere in nature, carbon. You decided it was a pollutant, and now you want to destroy the greatest economy on the planet by trying to regulate it. I think you're insane. And you think I'm insane. And that's fine. But set that aside. We're not talking about you and we're not talking about me. I'm here to tell you that the people who sell this stuff to you, the Bidens, the Bill Gateses, you name it, the academia, the people who sell you on man-made climate change, not only do they not believe it at all, they don't believe it. They know you're an idiot, so you'll believe it, but they don't believe it. That's why they're all on mansions on the beach. That's why they're all on private jets. Not only do those people not believe it, it's just a scheme so they can get rich. You do understand that? All the climate change crap, it's a gigantic scam to bloodsuck more money and power from you and put it into their bank accounts. In fact, that's what all of you street communists need to understand and accept. And I know you're street animals, and I know you're mentally ill, and I know you're little demons, and so it's hard to accept what I'm saying is true. The people who sell you this stuff, who pay you, that paycheck you get for burning down a pro-life pregnancy center, the people who are behind all this, none of them believe in any of the things they tell you to believe in. None of them do at all. This is a huge scheme. so evil people in power can get more money and more power. Every Going Green program, every single one that has ever been devised, has always lined the pockets of some filthy, rich, powerful Democrat. Every single one has done it. They sell you on man-made climate change, and they pass another $1 trillion bill. We just have no choice. We have to buy nothing but solar panels and windmills. If we don't, people will die. And if you took 5 seconds to look into it, you'd know that Congressman Jerkwater, who sold you on that plan, whatever that law happens to be, his wife's sister's brother just happens to be a major stakeholder in this solar panel company, and that windmill company, and his family fortune just grew by 25% with the passage of one bill, and you paid for it. Your taxes paid for it. He took your taxes from your wallet, selling you that he was going to stop the rise of the oceans or whatever other dumb crap they sell you because you're a moron. He took the money out of your pocket and he put it into his pocket. Now he has more money, more power. You have less money, less power. You're poorer, and he doesn't believe any of it. It's all a big scam. Remember, the people who lead the West, the people who lead America, most definitely, you need to think of them as if they're a gang of bank robbers, because that's really what they are. They all got together, decided they could really loot the bank vault if they started working together, and everything they do, everything, it's all aimed towards looting that bank vault and hiding what they're doing from you. So they sell you on all these little things that get you worked up in a big demonic frenzy all the time. Oh my gosh, I need to have an abortion. Oh my gosh, man-made climate change. Every little cause. Oh, racism, all this other stuff. It's all designed to distract you and hoover up more money and power for them. Stop being a useful idiot, all right? Maybe up your T levels so your mind works better. Remember, testosterone is really about your mind. That's what it's about. People hear testosterone and they think, well, yeah, it's just so I can make babies. That's a side benefit. Testosterone is about how your mind works, how your mood is. Are you down a lot? Are you having trouble focusing? You're depressed, running out of energy. Your T levels are low. Chalk's Male Vitality Stack, it's natural herbal supplements. It'll jack your T levels 20% in 90 days. 20% in 90 days. They have female vitality stacks. They have chalk lit powder. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. You pour it in a glass of milk or a smoothie or water or something like that in the morning. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. So get a subscription, save money, and feel better. Be in a good mood. Don't you want to be in a good mood more, just like me? Don't you want to?
Why are you so old?
Wait, that was the wrong one. I was trying to go for the focus one, Chris. We eliminated the focus one.
Name me a time.
Jewish producer Chris replaced the wrong one. Now, anyway, go get some chalk. Promo code Jesse. I have to yell at Chris. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Gassing it up for an election. I'm all kinds of fired up right now, even though, I mean, who knows? Every time I get fired up for one of these things, I end up being disappointed. Maybe it's a me problem. I wonder what James thinks. Joining me now, founder of the New Discourses podcast. I read all of his stuff. Dude knows more about commies than probably anybody I know. My friend James Lindsay. James, every time I get excited for an election, every time I convince myself it's going to go really well, we go down in flames. Is it a me problem?
Yeah, if it is, it's a me problem too. I have the same problem exactly. Every time I get all worked up and think I've got this, everything's going the way I hope it's going, man, it turns out sour.
Okay, let's discuss these people's mentality. Because I played this earlier. I know you've already seen this, but this CNN reporter mad about the Donald Trump the garbage truck thing, which was freaking brilliant, by the way. But, well, here she was.
Wolf, my analysis is exactly what we talked about before. They are trying to milk this for every single drop that they can. They want this to turn into what happened in 2016 when Hillary Clinton said that Trump supporters were a basket of deplorables. I cannot stress enough how we have spent the last 3 days, which has been reiterating, going over these racist, vile remarks that we heard in the pre-programming leading up to Donald Trump taking the stage. We have talked about how Puerto Ricans have...
They really do see themselves as warriors for the revolution, don't they?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what they are. And the classic saying is goes to David Horowitz, is that the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So what they're doing is they're ginning up pretexts to complain so that they can just keep pushing their agenda. Nobody cares about a freaking joke about Puerto Rico. Everybody knows it has a real garbage problem. Everybody knows, first of all, also that Trump didn't say it or even necessarily sanction it just because it happened. But they've got to use that as a set and setting to come along, because Joe Biden ran his mouth and called half the country, or probably more than half the country at this point, 70% of the country, garbage. And yeah, it is a deplorables moment. These people think they're better. You said we talk about their mentality. They think they're better than everybody else. They think that everybody who doesn't agree with them is garbage. Mao Zedong said to not have a correct political orientation is like not having a soul. And these people are Maoists. They have the exact same attitude. And so, yeah, we're standing up. We're taking that label and throwing it back at them. Trump did it brilliantly, showing up in a garbage truck and wearing the orange vest for his rally last night in Wisconsin. It was fantastic.
James, explain why they are in love with the whole Nazi thing. Every Republican's Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, Nazi, Hitler, which, of course, people freak out about on our side. We're not anything like that, but that's not the point, is it? That's not why they say it.
No, it's not the point at all. This is actually a political warfare tactic where what you do is you label your enemy in something ridiculous and something awful and something that scares the crap out of the lowest information part of your low information base. So like a word like Nazi, and they label this. And the goal is to get the argument to be, well, are you Nazi, or how are you kind of Nazi, or how do you match the Nazis? The goal is to get people arguing, yes, you are, no, you're not, well, you're kind of, well, a little bit. What you need to be doing instead is saying that you are trying to set us up, and you need to step back and instead of engaging in this stupid fake argument that they struck that makes it a big issue, you have to just call them out and say, you're trying to do this for other reasons. You're trying to bait us into this argument so you can label some people, or so somebody will say something stupid on the internet you'll hold up in a New York Times article, or you're setting this up for some kind of a future pretext, you know, to say, well, you know, we've put out this whole narrative that they're Nazis and there's all this Nazi stuff. And so now we can't certify Trump, even though he got elected. So some kind of BS operation is being put forth with this. It's not legitimate. Again, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So they just put out fake stuff to advance their agenda.
Speaking with James Lindsay, founder of the New Discourses podcast. James, you wrote a wonderful book, The Marxification of Education. I believe I have that title correct. And I tie so much of this back to our education system. I've said repeatedly the most damaging thing these people took over was the education system. You filter an entire population through a communist training camp for 18 to 22 years of their lives. You're going to have millions and millions of demoralized people who don't know up from down, left from right. How do we take it back?
Yeah, just to reiterate, Mao understood that the two things you have to take over first to really own and control a country, Mao Zedong and CCP China, understood you take over the media and you take over the schools. Those are the first two things. And so what we're going to have to do is the cleanup job in the schools is unbelievable. It's so big. It's so difficult. It's going to take so long that I have the bad news, the realistic bad news. I know you love that, which is that no kid who's in school now is coming through with a fixed school system. We're not fixing it. If there's a child that's a child today that's alive, under 20 years old, down to birth, a pregnant woman even, they're not coming through a clean school system. We're not fixing it that fast. But we've got to start taking up the efforts. The state of Florida has done more to do reforms. I encourage every Republican leader in every state, at least the ones that still have nuts, to look at what Florida has done, what Commissioner Manny Diaz has done, what Governor Ron DeSantis has done to clean up education and start us down that road, because they're taking, it's too much to get into, but they're taking gigantic strides, and they are a model for this country. And I think everybody needs to be looking at that and start taking it very, very seriously. And in the meantime, you need to protect your kids, which means if you can, you homeschool them. And if you can't, then you are getting very involved in their lives. Your children know every single day that you love them, that you are the most trusted person in their lives, and that they can come tell you what's happening at school. And they don't have to hide anything from you. And that any adult who tells them to hide stuff from you is the problem and needs to be reported immediately.
James, what should I be looking out for with my kids? I have two sons. They're 14 and what, 14 and 15? Yeah, he's about to be 16. I'm about to have a 14 and 16-year-old. What should I be on the lookout for as a sign of, uh-oh, something's going wrong at school and dad needs to get even more involved?
The big overt signs are obviously if they start indulging in a lot of major identity politics, if you start hearing that there are major behavioral issues with them or other kids around them because of the restorative justice and inclusive classroom policies, our schools are more violent and dangerous than ever. But if they're indulging in identity politics in any way or whatever, now they're thinking as collectivists, and whether they've been poisoned and have taken it up or poisoned and they're rebelling against it by going the other way and they're still thinking in collectivist identity politics, you've got a problem. The more subtle signs is if they start getting more withdrawn, more shy, and that's hard with the adolescents because they do that naturally. But if you start finding it very hard to have conversations with them about what's going on, you can probably bet that somewhere deep down, they're getting attacked by the sexuality side of this stuff. And it's making them very uncomfortable with their parents. And then that's time for dad to start getting really concerned.
James, you and I had a little brief back and forth about feminism, and I really liked what you had to say about it. All forms of feminism, we always talk about third wave as if it's bad. It's all bad because the second you start pitting men against women, then eventually women will hate men. And of course, men are going to reciprocate. Men are going to hate women. Now you have a falling birth rate. Nobody wants to date or even talk anymore. It's all just about division. It's not about women, is it?
No, it's not. Feminism is a conflict theory. That's what this is called in the sociology. And a conflict theory is what Marxism was. Marx began the Communist Manifesto by saying all of history up to this point has been the conflict of antagonistic classes. And so the idea is to draw a line. Here it's men and women. It could be rich and poor. It could be middle class and everybody else. It could be black and white or white and racial minority. It doesn't matter. You draw a line. You cut the society in half. You say one side is oppressing the other side. This is Marxist 101. And you set into motion a conflict. Their theory is that by stoking and provoking every conflict to its maximum, those conflicts will finally end. Think about that for like 2 seconds, how absolutely asinine that is. What happens in reality is you stoke the conflict ensues one way or another, and all of the negative aspects of that conflict become the reality we live in. Like you said, men hating women, you get the falling birth rates, you get the sex wars. But then what happens? Downstream, you get all these young men who not only don't want to date, they can't date if they want to. They call them involuntary celibates or incels. And history has shown in every population in the world that involuntarily celibate men who cannot get a girlfriend, who can't find meaning to build a life around a wife and a family, become the most dangerous members of any society, and they will tear your society apart. And meanwhile, what's happening is the feminists then can use that activity itself as more proof that they need more of their garbage theory to understand that misunderstands the problem so that they can apply it and gain more power for themselves. And the problem just spirals out of control. It is a what they call a vicious circle. It is the iterated prisoner's dilemma game where everybody defects and everybody loses.
Yep. James, I should have asked you beforehand. Do you have time to maybe do one more quick statement? I want to ask a little bit more about race Marxism, because you wrote about that too, and that's fascinating. People don't understand really what they see here. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yes, sir.
Give me just a couple more minutes and we'll be right back with James Lindsay. Before we come back with James Lindsay, I want to tell you that you need to put your money in hard assets. I don't tell you how to invest. I would never do that. I'm not an investor. I'm not a stockbroker. I don't do that. You do what you want when it comes to that, but you need hard assets. Land, real estate, precious metals. Land, real estate, precious metals. Done For You Real Estate can handle the real estate portion of that. I know you're not loaded. You know, no one's made a money. This is for normal people to begin investing in real estate. It'll start out with one home, a rental home. You stay with Done For You Real Estate. They will handle it all for you, the financing, the closing. They'll find you the houses, and they'll eventually, it'll balloon. You might have yourself 10 rental houses one day, retiring on it. You want to know how? Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out how. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, back with the founder of the New Discourses podcast, my friend James Lindsay. Writes a lot of really good books about this stuff. James, I remember, obviously everyone remembers, when St. George Floyd died and the anarchy that came after that and a society dividing amongst themselves. I remember it was really, really sad for me. We never have really discussed race in my house. It's just not something they discuss. My kids have friends of all colors. My neighbors are friends of all colors. I'm not acting like I'm Buddha here. We just never cared about it. It's not a big deal in my house. But for the first time, I remember my youngest came home and said, "Dad, do black people hate us?" And it was because of everything he'd seen on TV. And it was just, it gutted me. But it also ticked me off to what these people do and why they do it. Why do the commies love all this crap?
Well, before the break, we just talked about that. They run a conflict theory of history, which is actually a conflict theory of gaining power. If they can divide a population and set it in conflict, they position themselves to ride right up the middle and become the select or elect, I really should say, vanguard group that's going to tell us how all race relations are supposed to work from now on. Think Ibram Kendi and his Department of Anti-Racism he wanted to set up in this mess. They wrote about that in 2019 and pushed it through the summer of power be upon him, George Floyd. And so they set up a circumstance where everybody else is fighting, and then they're going to become the power brokers that decide how it all works. This is classic communism. It's classic Mao pitting groups against each other. It's classic Lenin and Stalin. It's classic Marx himself.
But you said Mao was pitting groups against each other. I thought everyone in China was just Chinese. He didn't do that, did he?
Oh, he certainly did. As a matter of fact, the big program starting even before he took power, all the way back into the 1920s, when the CCP was first formed, was to unify the racial minorities in China. There are 55 racial minority groups and ethnic minority groups, to unify them against the Han chauvinists. So the Han race is the biggest race. And instead of it being white supremacy, they had Han chauvinism. And he was going to unite the minority groups against the Han chauvinists, who were forcing them under the nationalist party policies to act like they were one people. It's exactly the same playbook CRT rolled out, and Mao didn't even invent it. Mao got it from Soviet Union. Lenin and Stalin put forth a program that most people today are very familiar with, though they've never heard of it. In Russian, it's called Raznobratsia. Raznobratsia means diversity. And guess what it did? It pitted all of the ethnic minority groups of Russia against the great Russian chauvinism, which is the exact same thing as white supremacy, doing exactly what our DEI programs today do, doing exactly what CRT does. This was invented by Lenin and Stalin in 1921, refined by Mao in CCP China, and then deployed on the American people in 2020 particularly, but also in the decade leading up to it.
James, why did Mao and the Soviets have such a testy relationship, if you will? They didn't get along. Why?
Well, it turns out that the big lie, or one of the many big lies of communism, is that it's cooperative. It turns out that it's viciously competitive. Everybody is trying to be the one who brings communism into being. And so it turns out that the Soviets, particularly Stalin, thought that Mao Zedong was kind of a hillbilly redneck, that he didn't have the kind of discipline, which basically meant that he didn't always listen to Stalin. He wasn't just going to be this vassal. He was going to do things his own way. And on the other hand, Stalin, because of this, would do all of these kinds of little things to slight Mao, to hamper his power, promise him nuclear weapons, did not deliver, promised him other military and economic benefits, did not deliver, just to cheat Mao. So Mao remembered, being a little narcissistic psychopath that he was, every single slight, every single bad word, every single lie, every single injury, and was going to prove that he was better than Stalin. So they had a very contentious relationship, but it was this weird one where they, because it's communism, they couldn't get out of each other's orbit. They had to help each other against the rest of the world, the United States in particular, but they actually more or less hated each other. And so Mao in particular wanted to brag that he brought a quarter of the world to socialism and therefore did better than the Soviet Union. And the Soviets didn't want to admit that. And it's competitive all the way down. It's competitive in who can hate and destroy more.
Real quick, James, I've only got about a minute left. I wish more people understood that Mao may have been superseded in the evil column by his witch wife. No one knows about this woman. This woman was the freaking spawn of Satan.
Yeah, Madam Mao was a major, major problem. But if we have to talk about supersession, we should talk not about Madam Mao and her evils. We should talk about instead, in the Gang of Four that she was part of, we should talk instead about Deng Xiaoping, who succeeded Mao in 1978. Deng Xiaoping set up this new model that combines economic fascism with communist governance, which is not just what we have in China today, and it is what is in China today. It's also the model for the world. Our ESG program with the United Nations is pushing, what our Democratic Party and Rhino Republicans are pushing into this country today, is that exact same model based off of Deng Xiaoping. So all this Maoist identity politics tearing our country apart with St. George Floyd, COVID, etc., is all designed to transition us onto the model that's presented in China, which is a combination of communism and fascism.
He is James Lindsay. I have no doubt, because you like my show, you'll be eating up the New Discourses podcast. Highly recommend you go download it. James, my friend, as always, thank you, brother. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
I learned. I like to learn. Why do I like to learn? So I can rub it in my friends' faces that I'm smarter than them. Listen, Chris, this is why you acquire knowledge. It's not to help the world or your country or your family. You acquire knowledge so you can make the people around you feel stupid when you know things they don't know. Everyone knows that. Learn from me, Chris. Learn from me. Have you gotten your PureTalk phone yet? I know you have. Everyone here has. Have you gotten your PureTalk phone yet? We don't send money to AT&T here. We don't send money to Verizon. We don't send money to T-Mobile, because those companies participate in all the garbage James Lindsay was just talking about on the radio. Go look up your cell phone company and Black Lives Matter and tell me if you're happy that you made those donations. PureTalk's CEO was Mac V. Sog, two tours in Vietnam. You wonder why this company drips with patriotism? They hire Americans. When you get a hold of someone at PureTalk, they speak English because they're American right here at home. You save a fortune. This company loves this country, and that's why I love them. That's what matters to me. And you don't sacrifice service. They're on the same 5G network. You want to save a bunch of money? Switch. Keep your phone. Keep your number. It's easy. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We have an hour left. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.